Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Crossplay Compatible, Episode 2. We thoroughly enjoyed Episode 1 and cannot wait to give you guys Episode 2, so here we are. My name is Carrington, I'm from Real Dudes Podcast, and with me is my co-host, Roger, from Gamerheads Podcast. Roger, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
I am fantastic. Just had some apple pie and graham cracker Oreos, so I'm in a good mood today. How about you?
I am in a good mood because the Packers won. It's Sunday. The Packers' playoff hopes are still alive. Yes.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Congratulations. Barely beating the Browns, but still a win. A win is a win.
Like I say, their playoff hopes are still alive, and they barely beat the Browns. But hey, we get Aaron Rodgers back next week, so.
Yes, that's true. And I'm a Broncos fan, and the playoffs are not in my future this year, so I'm happy for you. No problem.
It was an exciting game, so I was really happy to see that win.
Yeah, likewise, because I want to see a team go winless, and the Browns are the perfect team to do it. No, any Cleveland Browns fans out there, I'm sorry, but I just want to see it happen. I've already seen a perfect season with the Patriots, and I throw open my mouth as I say that, but I also want to see a perfect season going the other way and not winning a game.
Well, we've seen that with the Lions, so... In 2008.
That's true. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. That's a good reminder.
Yeah.
I'm so used to like Matt Stafford because I was 18 when that happened. Uh-huh. And now that Matt Stafford is the man right now, kind of forget those days about the Lions.
Yeah. It's sad because I think the Browns have like been at least in the leads. They had leads and they just keep losing games over and over again.
I know.
But
and it's. Crazy to think when I was a kid growing up, the Browns were not a bad team. No. They weren't like good, but they weren't bad. And
yeah.
Now they're just bad.
They're really bad.
They're, yeah. They're really bad. Really bad. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, I'm sure people don't want to hear us talking about sports. What are sports? What's football?
Yeah, yeah. If we're not talking about Tecmo football or Madden football, what are we talking about football on this podcast, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Hey, Madden is our game. This way, no, it's not. I'm kidding. So, yeah. Let's just get right into it. Roger, I believe you have like a nice little icebreaker for us that's not sports related.
I do. So the icebreaker this week is, what is your favorite game that was adapted from a movie?
Ooh, that's a really good question, and I'm probably going to have to go. And I'm going to say, by the way, this is not my favorite superhero, but it is probably my favorite superhero video game that's out there, like, of all time. And that has to be Spider-Man 2. It's also based off the movie Spider-Man 2. There's something about that game that I really love a lot. It was one of the first like open world like superhero games that did really well also. And I love the fact that Spider-Man himself, whenever he swung his web, it actually had to stick to something. And I've always said in the past that Tobey Maguire, when he plays Spider-Man on the screen, he's a terrible Spider-Man, but he's a great Peter Parker. Yeah. But I think something about the writing for the video games, he's a much better Spider-Man in the video games. And Spider-Man 2, he's a great Spider-Man also.
Yeah. Actually, I forgot about that game. I was going to say it's a trick question. Because they're all bad.
Well, they are generally mostly bad.
But you're right. That game was really good. And I really liked that game. I totally forgot about that game. So I would have to say that game too.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And Spider-Man 3 was okay, but Spider-Man 2 to me was like the pinnacle of the Spider-Man video game franchise as far as like the movies are concerned.
Yeah, well, and I think there was side quests where you could deliver pizzas for Joe Pizza.
Yeah, yeah, that was a lot of, that was a fun little mini game thing that they had going on.
Yeah. Side story about that. Actually, I went to New York shortly after that movie came out. Well, no, it was a couple of years after the movie came out. But we went to Joe's Pizza, which wasn't actually the same building, which is funny. Because the building that that movie was actually filmed in, it was actually Joe's, it's actually called Joe's Pizza. But the owner of that building, because, you know, the movie made it so popular that they raised the rent, so that the establishment moved just to the building next to it. And I went there for a slice of pizza, and it was an interesting, this is an interesting story. Well, I don't know. I think this is like showing, like, I don't know, like, my Midwest kindness, I guess, if you will.
I'm in the, technically I'm in the Midwest too, so I know what you mean.
Yeah. So we went there, and there was a guy that was going around and asking for money for pizza, and so I gave him some money, and some other people gave him some change as well, and he was deaf, so he was trying to buy a slice of pizza, and he was trying to give the money to the person behind the counter, and the guy said, "Get out of here! You don't have money." And I walked up and I said, what's going on? And he said, he's trying to buy a slice of pizza and he doesn't have enough money. And I said, how much more does he need? And it was like $1.50. So I put down $1.50.
That's nothing.
I know, right? So yeah. I put down $1.50 and the guy looked at me. He's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm buying him a slice of pizza and a can of Coke. And, you know, the other guy was just so thankful that, you know, somebody bought him a slice of pizza and a can of Coke. And I don't know. I think I felt like the person behind the counter was kind of taken aback. Like, why would you do that? But $1.50, if it makes somebody's life better, I'm going to do that, right?
What's $1.50 to me? In my experience with New Yorkers, if there are any New Yorkers listening, I apologize, but most New Yorkers I have experienced, because I used to work in a call center, New Yorkers are not the nicest people, and I will say Californians are probably one some of the nicest people I've dealt with over the phone. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, you know, in another funny, I'll just tell another funny quick story in New York. So that same week was, we were there for, it was like close to a week. There was a really bad snowstorm that happened, and there's a woman that was walking in front of us, and she dropped her scarf, and my wife and I picked it up, and we were running after her saying, ma'am, ma'am, and she turned around, and she starts running away from us, and I'm like, no, ma'am, stop, and she's like running, and we finally caught up with her, we're like, ma'am, you dropped your scarf, and she just looked at us, and she's like, oh, okay, thanks. And the guy, there's a guy standing there, and he's like, you're not from New York, are you?
That is crazy.
So, but yeah, we got to go to Joe's Pizza. It was pretty cool.
That is really cool. Like, I've never been to New York. The closest I've been is, well, Spider-Man 2 and The Division. At the moment, that's the closest I've been to getting to New York.
Yeah, yeah. So I would have to say Spider-Man 2 as well. I would have said nothing because they're all bad, but I forgot about that game. So that's
really well, and also the Chronicles of Riddick is also really good too. Oh. Now that I think about it,
cool.
Yeah, that came up then. Yeah, I'd highly recommend it. Because Vin Diesel is a huge nerd and he owns his own video game company.
Oh really?
And yeah, and that video game company made the Chronicles of Riddick game, and it is it's so good.
Oh,
it's yeah, it's good.
Okay,
it's
good. Check it out. this week, and the reason I brought this icebreaker up because this week the game that we're going to be looking at is Goonies 2. The sequel, if you will, to the movie Goonies.
Oh yeah, which is I think very fitting to discuss, not only because of, you know, the time of year it is, kind of, sort of, but also because Sean Astin has really become in the limelight recently thanks to Stranger Things, which is also Goonie-esque.
Yes, I was going to say, which gets its root from the Goonies, so.
Yeah, for sure. So here we go. Let's get into the Goonies 2 on the NES.
Yes.
The game itself came out in 1987. So Roger, why don't you kick us off? What happened in 1987 in that year?
So this is really interesting. Full House makes its debut in
1987. Ooh, and then roughly 20 years later, it's another debut on Netflix.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, 30 years, sorry, 30, is it 30 years or 20?
30 years, yeah.
Yeah, 30.
Yeah, right? Yeah, 30 years
later. Gosh.
That's
crazy. That is crazy.
I found that interesting. I thought it was a lot later than that. I didn't realize it was 1987.
Yeah, I thought that was more of like a early to mid 90s show. I didn't know it started in the 80s.
Yeah. Simpsons, the first Simpsons episode, which is like a short, but it airs on the Tracy Ullman show.
Oh.
That happened in 1987, and that's still going on to this day. So that I think that might be the longest running TV show, actually.
Yeah, of all time. Literally, all time. I think it is, yeah.
So that was interesting. Some popular films during the year 1987.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear this.
Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, I have actually seen that.
You have?
Not when
I've
it came
not.
Out, obviously.
So that was a movie in 1987. Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh, that's a classic.
Yeah, it's interesting because, 1987, that was probably like 20 years after the Vietnam War-ish. So that's an interesting look back of the Vietnam War. The Last Emperor.
Last Emperor. I have actually seen that, actually.
Yeah, that was a Spielberg movie.
Yeah, it was.
So that's interesting.
I forgot about that movie. Yes, he was on fire in the 80s.
Yeah, he was.
Whether it would be a... Yeah.
What a strange... I mean, it's not actually it kind of ties into this because he actually directed The Goonies. I forgot.
Yeah,
about that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. I forgot about that. Yeah, Steven Spielberg's the man, and he's from my hometown, Cincinnati, Ohio. So just huge shout out to Steven Spielberg. Yeah,
nice. Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. I have seen it. It's not one of my favorites per se, but I have seen that.
Mine either. And then RoboCop.
Oh, another classic.
Another classic. Another game that was made from the movie, which was not good.
Not good. Yeah, no, not good.
Music-wise, we have Michael Jackson's Bad. The album Bad is released in 1987. Yes. And U2's Joshua Tree is released in 1987 as well.
Okay. All right. All right.
So those are the things that I highlighted that were going on in 1987. I do have some things about technology here, too. Just one thing. I have Clive Sinclair launches the first portable computer weighing 2 pounds.
Oh, 2 whole pounds, man. That's nothing.
Yeah, I know, right? Is that crazy? Like
that is crazy.
No, like people would say, oh, 2 pounds. Oh, my gosh, that's really heavy. But back then it was like, wow, look at this. We got a portable computer.
Whoa. So speaking with going along the same lines of technology as well. IBM launches the PS2 line of computers, those little ports in the back that supported keyboards and mice back in the day, but also it introduces VGA graphics as a possible input, and 3.5-inch floppy drives to PCs were also introduced that year.
And let me tell you, there was like a huge difference. I'm not kidding. Like, it sounds weird, but when VGA came out, it was like, oh my goodness, look at these colors. This is amazing. and then later on, it came out with Super VGA.
Ooh.
But maybe one of the games we'll talk about in the future, Commander Keen was one of the games, one of the first computer games that I played that had, I think they had VGA graphics, and I was just taken aback by that game.
I don't blame you. We've already said before, like when I was born and things like that, so I grew up with things like PS2 ports and VGAs and floppy disk. Like, I remember those things being a thing when I was a kid. But now, like, for me, it's like, man. I mean, I'm sure you're astounded, too, like, when you see, like, 1080p, 1080i, and now we're in the 4K era, and it's just
crazy.
Like, whoa. But yeah, so that was 1987, that was introduced. And so this is what happened in gaming in 1987. The company Maxis was founded.
Really?
All those who don't know, they're the ones who still to this day create games such as The Sims and SimCity. Sims hadn't come out yet. It wasn't even a thought, but the company itself started in 1987.
Interesting.
Apogee also started. They're known as another company now. I forgot to write it down, but they're the ones who originally made the Duke Nukem series. Mm. So they started in 1987.
Interesting.
So I think I can't remember if we mentioned this in the last episode or not, but Contra was released in 1987, but it was like a late 1987 in America. Zelda 2 was released in Japan.
Yes.
Because we mentioned in our last episode.
Because I was going to say, we talked about Zelda 2 last episode. But it was released in America, that's why.
In America, yeah. So, and then, but Zelda 1 yes. was released in America that year.
Yes.
So while Japan was getting busy with Zelda 2, we were just getting started with Zelda 1.
Yeah. And while Japan was saying, what is this crap? We were like, oh my goodness, this is amazing.
Exactly. Maybe we should talk about that in depth one day.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Cool. One of my personal favorite games, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, was released in 1987. I still play that to this day, actually. I love Punch-Out.
Yeah, that's a good game.
It is a great game. I would love to see another one. They did come out with one on the Wii.
Yes.
Which wasn't bad.
Yes.
I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Yes.
Mega Man 1 was released.
Yeah.
Like, and which is crazy to think, like, now that we're going over this, because the next Mega Man series and collection was just announced. So that it's going strong still. Yeah. I love it.
Mega Man 11.
Yeah. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? Yeah. We're getting a new Mega Man. I just got chills.
I know. Can I tell you a quick story about Mega Man, actually?
Yeah, go right ahead.
This is very funny. So, when I was a kid, there was these cookies. I'm not sure if they were called Mega Cookies or Omega Cookies. So, they're generic, right? So, instead of having Oreos, you'd have these. I think it was Mega was the company. So, it was Mega Cookies. And so it was generic. We just called them generic, right? It was generic cookies. So when Mega Man, when we saw that game out on the shelves, we thought, oh, it's Generic Man, because we just associated Mega with being generic, right? And yeah. We wouldn't rent that game for the longest time, because if you saw the cover of the game, it was really weird and really bad. It was like a guy dressed up as Mega Man, and it just looked really bad.
I have seen it because when the Mega Man 11 was announced, I think they had there was like an art piece of like all the Mega Mans of what he looked like through the years, and he was there, and I'm like, oh gosh, I forgot that's what he used to look like.
Yeah, it was so bad. And then we finally rented it, because like we rented every other game at this game at the video store, so we're like, well, let's just give Mega Man a try. And we were like, oh my goodness, this game is really good.
Little did you know.
I know, right? So that's my story about Mega Man.
My little bit about Mega Man, because I didn't grow up playing the Mega Man games very often, especially as even like a smaller kid. I didn't start playing Mega Man until I was probably, I'll say pre-teen or early teens in that area. But even younger than that, like, I knew who Mega Man was because there was a Mega Man cartoon that came on TV. And
oh, really?
I still remember that. Yeah.
I don't remember the Mega Man cartoon. I kind of do, but I didn't watch it. I think I was older. That's why I didn't really watch it.
Okay, that could have been it, because I was, you know, 5, 6, 7 when that was a thing.
But they came like, up in with, that like, era somewhere. Dog and like,
yeah.
The girl that was in it, right? I don't.
Yeah.
See, the early Mega Man.
See, you got this. You've seen it.
But I don't remember it. Like, I remember thinking, like, oh, this is not my Mega Man. That's what I kept thinking.
Yeah, because he looks too cool.
Yeah, exactly. This is not my generic man. This is
exactly. But yeah, that's my little tidbit about Mega Man. My first exposure was because of the cartoon that came out in the 90s.
Nice.
Last but certainly not least, a little company known as Square decides to announce Final Fantasy. And at the time, this was, in their minds, was going to be their last game because they were doing so bad financially. But then, come to find out, it becomes one of the biggest gaming franchises in gaming history.
15 games later.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which I still have not played 15. I've only played like 2 or 3 Final Fantasy games in my lifetime. Yeah, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, Tactics, and 13 are the 3 I've played.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. You got to play Final Fantasy 6 or 3, whatever. I think it was called 6 in America or 3 in America. I don't remember. That was a really good one.
I own 7 on the PC. I've just never played it.
Fantastic.
That's what I keep hearing.
Yeah, that was the first Final Fantasy I beat, so...
Okay, I've started Final Fantasy X one time on a friend's house on his PS2, but I didn't grow up with a Sony console, so I never finished that one.
Yeah. One other game. Was that the last game that you saw that was announced?
That was the last one that I was going through on my list. So if you have a few, go right ahead.
Castlevania 2 was the other one that I was going to mention.
I saw that, but see, I forgot I was going to mention it, but I'm like, I've never played a Castlevania game.
What? Oh, no.
I know.
That's like
my
favorite series oh, really? You gotta play. Well, okay, not Castlevania 2. I like Castlevania 2. Okay. Not many people like Castlevania 2. I actually liked it. That was, remember how I said last episode that Super Mario Brothers 2 was my first game I beat? Castlevania 2 was my second game that I beat, so.
Oh.
Not many people liked that game. I personally liked it because there was also like this Choose Your Own Adventure game or book that came out around the same time. So I was really into Castlevania. But that game came out. It was like totally different than the first game. They tried to do something different, which I appreciated. So.
And I do want to make a quick correction since we're on the subject. In the last episode, I had mentioned what the first game I had beaten was either Pilot Wings or something else. I don't remember what the other game I mentioned was. My dad actually listens to the episode, and he was like, Carrington, Super Mario Brothers was the first game you ever beat as a kid at like 4 years old. I'm like, oh, what? I had no idea.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's funny that your dad was like, no, that's not even true.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I did.
Which is funny because I was just in my room. I don't remember what I was doing. I was either watching TV or playing something, and he just came in my room, and I could hear the episode going on his phone, and then he paused it, just standing in the door, and he's giving me that look of disappointment, and he was like, "Mario was the first game you ever beat," and that's all he said, and then he left.
That's hilarious.
That's my dad.
That, first of all, it's awesome that your dad listens to the episode. That's really cool.
Oh yeah, yeah, he listens to the show, and
that's awesome.
Oh, he listens to Real News Podcast, and now he listens to Crossplay Compatible. And I recommended Gamerheads to him, so he put it on his list to listen to.
Nice.
So yeah.
Yeah, I told my parents, "Hey, I do a podcast," and they're like, "Oh yeah, that's nice."
What's a podcast?
They're like, "And you talk about what? Video games?" Oh, okay. I will say though, I mean, going with my parents actually. Well, my mom played. She didn't really play many games, but my dad played pinball on NES and Tetris. So those are the two games that he would just sit down and play with us. Anything else he wouldn't play.
Fair enough.
But then years later, when the Wii came out, they bought a Wii, and I often said that if there's a game where my parents beat me, like seriously, the world has come to an end, and my mom beat me in Wii bowling, and I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
No.
She bowled a 300. She was really good at Wii bowling. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's embarrassing. I'm sorry.
I was actually really proud of my mom. I was like, "Wow,
you should be.
This is awesome that my parents are actually playing games. They actually have a game system with no kids living there. They're like, we're gonna buy a Wii."
And that's actually incredible.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, my mom kind of sort of is a gamer. Like, she played like Pac-Man and stuff back in the day, but nowadays she doesn't play too much. But my dad, he still games. He's actually trying to be.
Yeah, you got him a PS4, right?
I've got him a PS4, yep. And he's going through Horizon Zero Dawn as we speak.
Oh, that game's so good.
Yeah, so I've heard. I'm going through it as well, but he is also much, much farther than I am.
That game is really good. So yeah, I think that's all the pieces that we had for the year 1987. Unless you had something else.
Nope. I think now is the perfect time to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Goonies 2.
Hey everyone. If you like what you hear, you can hear more of our podcasts. You can listen to the Real Dudes podcast on Podbean. You can check them out at realdudespod.podbean.com. And you can also listen to the Gamerheads on Podbean as well. The site there is gamerheadspodcast.podbean.com. Check it out and download our newest episodes. Thanks everyone for listening. So you've been listening to our podcast, and you've been thinking, you know what? I can do that. Yeah, you can. You can go through Podbean, our affiliate, and you can get 1 month free by going to podbean.com/GHPC. Podbean is what we use to host our podcast as well. On Podbean, you can host your podcast, and you can publish it there. It's actually quite simple to use. Again, to get 1 month free, you can go to podbean.com/GHPC. That stands for Gamerheads Podcast. All right, thanks everyone, and back to the show.
And welcome back to Crossplay Compatible. This is Carrington here with Roger, and here we are talking about Goonies 2 on the NES. So just a quick little tidbit, Goonies 2, or I should say Goonies, we made a small mistake about the movie being directed by Steven Spielberg. It was not. So we apologize for that incorrect little tidbit of information.
Yeah, I think he produced it, right? I think, well, it says Steven Spielberg presents.
I'm looking at the credits. He wrote it. But he did not produce it in any way, shape, or form, but he wrote it.
Interesting.
And his studio, Amblin Entertainment, is the one who produced it. So I'm sure he had more involvement in it than what meets the eye, but he did write it.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm sure he was probably like on the set a lot.
Yes, indeed. I'm sure he was around, you know.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So anyway, Goonies 2 on the NES is about our main man, Mikey, off to rescue his friends after they were kidnapped by the villains of Goonies 1, the Fratelli family. And Mikey must rescue all of his friends and free a mermaid named Annie. Don't know where that came from, so right?
Yeah. Like, hey, let's just introduce a new character, a mermaid that, like, no, was never brought up. I mean, not that I don't have a problem with, you know, new characters being introduced, but how strange.
Right, and apparently there is no sloth. For those of you that are fans of the movie, Sloth is not in Goonies 2, despite being such a lovable and great character in the first movie.
Yeah, that was weird.
Oh yeah, very much so. So the game itself, is interesting. How would I describe it? The levels are your basic platforming, 2D style NES-esque type platforming, styles. But there's also, like, you go in these rooms and stuff and you're trying to discover, you know, things. That's more Earthbound-ish, I would say.
Yeah. First person.
Yeah, it's first person. And then you have stuff on the left side of the menu, your actions or whatever that you can do. It's just kind of weird. I don't know. What do you think of this, Roger?
So when this game came out, so I was super excited about this game. Because, one, I loved the Goonies. It was such a great movie in regards to, like, I was around that age when that movie came mm-hmm. out. So I could really relate to these kids. And my friend and I used to create our own treasure maps and, like, go out and look for treasure. I mean, obviously there was no treasure, but we were pretending we were looking for treasure.
Of course, you know, that's what you're supposed to do.
Exactly. And then this movie just, like, related so well to that. So, so I was really excited about this game. And the cover of the game, I will say that first, the cover of the game looks amazing. It really does. I mean, it's really action-packed. It has, like, all the characters. I don't know why Ma Fratelli has a mermaid in a crystal ball. I don't understand that. But I just remember thinking, oh, this looks so good. And then playing it, I was like, this is not so great. The music is fantastic. I will say that. The music was really, really good in this game. I was blown away by the music. Even now, I played it about a couple weeks ago just to kind of refresh my memory around the game.
Right.
And I was, like, blown away again by the music, because the music is really good in this game. But the game itself, this is 1987. We didn't have the internet where we could just go and look up stuff. I mean, this is like a Metroidvania game, which done well is really good, but this game was really hard.
Yes, it is, because I decided to try and play the game through certain means. Cough, ROM emulation, cough. And as I was playing it, I'm like, I was thinking to myself, like, there's no way this game is popular. Because it just doesn't, it's just something off about it. That I just can't quite put my finger on it. I'm like, this doesn't feel like the Goonies. And I even played the original Goonies game as well. And I'm like, this game's terrible too.
I never did. Yeah, that game was really hard. That game was harder, yeah. Actually, what I heard. I've never played that okay. one, but I heard that game was harder.
I only played enough to just try and get a feel for it. Like, I wonder if the games were similar or different. They're similar. They're very similar with from one another. And, you know, I don't get it. I don't see how... It just shows you that people higher up, all they did was green light it, cough, cough, Battlefront 2, cough, cough, and they thought it would be successful because of how popular the licensing and the movie was, and it was just not good. Not good at all.
Yeah, it was really hard. I mean, because you'd walk into these rooms, and so the idea, like you said, Carrington, it was a side-scroller platform game until you would enter a room, and then it became first person, and you'd like walk around these rooms, and then that's where you'd find your friends sometimes, or you'd find one of the Fratelli brothers. And when you were traveling between those worlds, that was also acting like a warp, because when you would leave, you'd go into a different world, like different side-scrolling
yeah,
world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was so hard to understand what was going on. There was no, like, you know, there's no, like, background of what's going on. And there was, it, I mean, I guess I could have sat down and mapped it, but, you know, as a 9-year-old kid, or actually, no, at this time I was, like, 10 or 11, I didn't want to sit down and map that stuff. Like, you know, I don't know.
You had other better things to do. Yeah, other games to play and to be outside.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the first game I think that I started playing that I was like, I am so lost. I have no idea what's going on. Now, maybe, and that's why I came back to it as an adult. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe playing it as an adult, I would appreciate, like, how, like, unique and different the game was. And I'm still not sure if I do or not.
The devs were operating on another level that we just cannot comprehend. That's what it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. Like, you know, and it's interesting because I will say this. This is a Konami game. Mm-hmm. And I think they took the premise of this game and really applied it to, like, Castlevania 3, where you get, like, that mechanics of the Metroidvania kind of esque to mm-hmm. the game really is well done in Castlevania 3. So maybe they learned a lot from this game. I don't know, but I'll tell you, I still can't play this game today.
I don't blame you at all. Yeah, it just goes to show you, like, I just, you know, developers and movie studios through the years, you know, I could see them, you know, in the beginning of gaming, you know, in the 70s and 80s, how they had a tough time trying to probably adapt movies to video games. And now we're in the an era where, you know, things like, you know, we have top-notch video games when it comes to story and voice acting and music and gameplay and all this other stuff. And Hollywood and the video game industry still have not figured out to this day how to form some sort of alliance and consistently make good marketing and licensing for the products that are coming out of Hollywood and these adaptations that they are trying to cash in on. So yeah, I just find it the whole thing to be fascinating as to, and one of the reasons I've read an interview once with a writer. He decided to remain anonymous, but he's a writer in Hollywood. He's fairly successful, apparently. And he said that the reason why, because he's tried his hand in writing for video games as well, and he said the biggest challenge, I guess, that Hollywood just has not figured out and will probably be some time before they figure it out, and that's how they don't know how to account for the player and what the player can do or how they want to feel and things like that. Whereas a movie is very linear. You know, you're as a person that's in the audience of a movie, you're along for the ride. Whereas a video game, you are a part of that ride.
Interesting. That's a really good point. I guess I never even thought of that. Yeah, you know, and it's interesting that you said about, you know, how, like, nowadays we have voice actors and such. It'd be interesting to see how different this game would have been if they were to produce a game like this now, and how different that game would be if they would get, like, voice actors. It would almost be like, maybe like, it'd be cool to see it like a true Goonies kind of esque, like, treasure hunting kind of game, like almost like an Uncharted game or something like that. I think that would be really interesting.
That would be really cool. That's actually not a bad idea. And if someone like Naughty Dog were to make it, I think it would be top notch, because yeah. I've never played the Uncharted series, but I will say I own them now, and I will go through it soon.
Yeah.
But from what I know about Uncharted and that series and what Naughty Dog has done with that series, I think they would be perfect to bring about a true Goonies sequel.
You know, in regards to the reception of this game when it came out, you know, I looking at some of the reviews and stuff, it doesn't sound like it got bad reviews,
mm-hmm,
but it certainly didn't get good reviews either.
Which, in the video game world, if it's a movie adaptation or video game adaptation of a movie, that's like almost a 10 out of 10. In...
Especially during that time, because this is coming off of, I mean, granted, it was years prior, but remember, E.T. came out before this, and like that was such a huge flop. And for a movie adaptation of a game based off a movie, not getting terrible scores, you're right, is probably like a win for them.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, the something like Spider-Man 2, I know it reviewed, you know, amazingly well, but it's just one of those things where it just in that history that the bar has been set so low throughout the years that it wouldn't take much for a video game based off of a movie to do really well.
Yeah. Well, and what was interesting about this game, so unlike maybe like E.T. or any other video games I'm thinking of, like there was Raiders of the Lost Ark, there was Temple of Doom, those are just the things I can think off the top of my head that came out around the same time. Like, they were truly based off the movie. So it was, you know, you playing Indiana Jones or you playing E.T. in the game. Although E.T. can't really... maybe that's far-fetched. But at least the Indiana Jones games. You were actually playing the character in that role in that movie. Whereas with this game, like, they wanted to try something different. They wanted to take the characters from that series and say, let's have them go on a new adventure where they're saving this mermaid named Annie, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But, you know, they tried something different, and I give them credit for that, at least, because it was tying into the franchise, but giving them enough reins, I guess, which is really interesting that I don't know if Spielberg didn't have any control over that or what, or if he signed off on this, but to give them some control over a whole new storyline, is bold, I would say that.
I will have to agree, and the more I think about it, I think the only franchise I can attest to that's a video game based off a movie franchise would be the Star Wars franchise, when LucasArts was taking care of it, you know, yeah, in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and it's really sad to see like something that's so beloved to really not do so well now. And I would love to see not just Star Wars, but just more video games based off of movies, because I feel like the video game industry has pretty much stopped right now from even attempting to do them and cashing in on it.
Yeah, I mean... And it might be more along the lines of, like, the rights of those movies, too, because maybe that has changed a lot. I don't know. I mean, I'm just speculating here. But, you know, movies are more held closer in regards to the rights, closer to the chest, maybe, than where they were before. I don't know. I don't know if you know, Konami came to, like, Spielberg and was like, we're going to make this game. We want to, you know, have this. And I would think that Spielberg would want to have a hand in that. I don't know. But I think it's a different time. I do. I think it's different now where there really is a separation. And maybe because of, like, bad experiences in the past that maybe, you know, movie franchises don't want to tie in or have a tie-in game to their movie because they're afraid that it's going to ruin the movie. I don't know. It's in it. Or at least maybe they'll make profit off of it and they won't see the profit. that's just again speculating. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what goes in those meetings or behind closed doors, but I would love to be just a fly on the wall on some of those business meetings when they talk about that kind of stuff. Because I'm sure that stuff kind of like meetings like that still go on. It just probably nothing ever happens out of it. Because like I said, we haven't seen a video game adaptation of a movie in quite some time. It seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but it's interesting now, and now I will. You know, this is going off topic a little bit, but they are coming out with movies based off of games a lot more. Like we have Jumanji. Well, Jumanji doesn't really count. I won't count that. But Rampage, okay. The game, yeah. Rampage is a movie coming out with The Rock, with the Rampage. Yeah. Like, what is going on with that? Maybe Hollywood is I don't know, looking for scraps or looking for something to do something. I don't know, but it's interesting that. It seems like the movie industry is kind of looking towards games more. I mean, there was a time when they did that, but now it seems to be.
Yeah, even more so now than in the past. And yeah. Just quick little story. I was in Chicago the beginning of June. Yeah, beginning of June, I was in Chicago, and they were actually filming Rampage while I was there.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious. So we stuck around for a long time just to see if we could get a glimpse of The Rock or any of the actors, and we never did.
No.
But at the same time, it was just cool because I'd never seen a movie set, especially one on location before. And so you saw a lot of, you know, just a lot of different people and just lots of different rigs and lights and all this kind of stuff, which I thought even then was fascinating and just cool to see because I'd never experienced it before. So yeah. I will probably go see the Rampage movie only because I saw them filming it.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I will watch it when it comes to Netflix, so...
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. I just want to go, because I'll be like, yeah, I was there when they were filming some of this stuff.
That's cool. I mean, that is cool. But it looks terrible.
Yep.
No, I mean, no offense to Rampage. I like the game. I don't know how that's going to translate into a movie.
So maybe we can talk about it on the show around the time the movie comes out.
That's right. Yeah, we could. So in regards to this game, if you're interested in playing this game, I would actually recommend that you don't.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
There's plenty of Let's Plays out there that you can watch and you can see for yourself, like how different this game was and really kind of how disjointed the game. I guess that's the best word I can describe it for myself. How disjointed this game was from a player's perspective. But you can go out there and make your own opinion. And if you disagree, I would love to hear what your thoughts were on the game. If you played this game or if you saw Let's Plays and said, what are you talking about? This looks amazing. reach out to us. Let us know. Like you said, there's certainly ROMs that you can get this game. It's not going to be on your NES Classic because this certainly wasn't a game that people looked back fondly on. Certainly is available through ROMs, or you know, you can still get them at this game at like used game stores like Jake's Store, Gaming Generations. I don't think they have a copy now, but I have seen this copy at their store before, so certainly is available out there in the world, and I don't think it's that expensive of a game. So if you're interested, you know, you can go get the game at a used game store, but I would recommend just watching it as a Let's Play.
Agreed. And the one I saw didn't have some crazy person talking over it. It was just the game and them playing it, which I enjoy when I'm trying to enjoy a Let's Play.
Yeah. So that's my 2 cents on this game. Don't play it. Just watch it.
Yep. Just watch it. You don't have to play it. It's not something like Mega Man, which we talked on the show before. It's like, you know, that's a game that means something in history that you should probably play despite its difficulty.
Yes.
Goonies 2 is something you should stay away from, even with its difficulty.
Yeah, but we wanted to talk about this game because of the fact that Stranger Things is really popular now. So we were like, what relates to Stranger Things? Of course, Goonie does. What was there video games associated with Goonies? Of course, there was. There was actually 2 games. We decided to focus on Goonies 2 because that was probably the more well-known of the 2 games that came out. And I use well-known loosely because I don't know how many people actually own this game on the NES, but.
Agreed. Yeah. And, you know, just one of those things that we thought would be interesting just to even play today and see if it possibly, maybe, sort of, kind of, sort of holds up, which yeah. it doesn't.
Nope. Nope. So save your money. Don't buy this game. Just watch Let's Plays.
Agreed. And I don't think anybody will be offended in the gaming industry that we have said that.
No. No, I'm sure Konami wants to just forget this game was ever made. So
agreed. I'm pretty sure they're like, we made what now?
Yeah, yeah. What? There's somebody actually podcasting about this game? That's crazy.
Well, Roger, where can people find you as we wrap up this episode?
Yeah, so as Carrington mentioned, I am one of the hosts of the podcast Gamerheads podcast. So if you're interested in getting hold of us, you can... reach me via Twitter, a Twitter.
Tweeter, the Tweeter.
You can reach me via the Tweeter. reach me via Twitter. You can tweet us at GamerheadsPC. That's probably the best way, and I run our Twitter account. You can also reach us via Facebook, via email, GamerheadsPodcast@gmail.com. You can listen to our show on any of your podcasting devices or sites. iTunes, Google Play, Podbean. That's where we're actually hosted. So you can go to gamerheadspodcast.podbean.com. Check us out. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think of this podcast as well. We'd love to hear from you. And Carrington, how can people get a hold of you?
So as I've mentioned at the start of this podcast, you can contact me through Real Dudes Podcast. So our Twitter is realdudes_pod. And the easiest way to get a hold of us is probably through Twitter. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at Real Dudes Podcast. You can also email the show at podcast@realdudespodcast.com. And then for me specifically, just look up Desert Fury, Desert Fury 90, one of those two, and most likely you'll find me up on the interwebs, gaming it up in various places like Steam, PS4, Xbox, and the Switch.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. I forgot about that. I actually just got an Xbox, Xbox One, so you can get a hold of me on that too. So if you have PlayStation 4, you can add me at Rogue Leader. You can add me on PlayStation 4. It's Rogue Leader 76. If you're interested, if you have an Xbox, you want to add me. It's Rogue Leader 1976, but the leader, the A, is a number 4 because somebody apparently has Rogue Leader 1976 already. So it's Rogue, the number 4, Der, 1976.
And by the way, I must say, I had a fantastic time with you the other day playing Battlefront 2.
Yes, that was awesome.
It was a lot of fun. Yes. Unfortunately, I had to leave a little early, but we will have to do that again sometime soon.
Yeah, we will. And I also picked up Overwatch, just so you know. So.
Ooh, just speaking to my heart right now. Speaking to my heart.
So, yeah, you can go ahead and add us there, too. We'd love to hear from you, too. So if you have any comments about the show or any suggestions for games that you want us to talk about, let us know. You can reach out to us, like I said, and what Carrington said, via our Twitter accounts or email or Facebook. So get a hold of us.
Yeah, and we're always open. We're always willing to talk with you about either one of our shows individually or this show, cross-play compatible. We just love talking to people.
Yeah. Well, Carrington, thank you so much for meeting again.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for being on the show once again. And until next time, we will see you around. Cross-play compatible out.
It's Jamie, Progressive number 1, number 2 employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it was pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow.
That's well made. Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.